All right. Well, today we're going to go in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture where there's some people. Actually, there's a lot of people that are meeting with Jesus, and there's some people that want to get to Jesus, but it's pretty difficult to get there. So let's go to Mark chapter 2, verses 1. It says, "And again he entered," Jesus entered "Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together." Grab the microphone. I don't need that. So many people gathered together, and the house was full. Jam-packed, full of people, because Jesus was there and he preached the word to them. "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through," everyone say broken through, "they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Father, we thank you. God, I thank you that this is not just a story that happened a long time ago that can't happen today, because it can. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we just thank you, God, for this passage, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us revelation. Pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal nuggets of truth that we could apply to our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Scripture tells us that those who labor and are heavy laden to cast our cares upon God, because he cares for us. So if you are heavy laden, if you are very tired, you know what you are to do is to cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you. And in this process, we are to learn of Christ. Now, what can we learn of Christ in this time when we're heavy laden, burdened, overwhelmed with difficulty and problems? What can we learn from Jesus? Well, we can learn obedience. Did Jesus obey the Father? Yes, he did, all the way to the cross. We can learn faithfulness. Was Jesus faithful to the Father? Yes, he was. Not a day went by that he was not faithful to the Father. And we can learn commitment to the Father, commitment to his word, commitment to his instruction. Was Jesus committed to the Father? Yes, he was, because it says he was obedient to the Father all the way to the cross. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." I like that. If we are to cast our burden on the Lord, he will sustain me. That means he'll hold me up. That means he'll prop me up. That means he will give me the strength to stand straight. And it says, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 3, there's a song that I remember, but Psalm 3, it talks about how the Lord will sustain me. How are they who that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many of them that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And then it goes on to say that I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. How many of you have ever had a difficulty of going to sleep because of the burdens, the problems, the difficulties in life? It was difficult for you to fall asleep. But when we learn to cast our cares on the Lord, we can sleep peacefully. We can sleep, you know, with like a baby. Yeah. I found out my father, who has, doctors say he has diabetes, doctors says he has Parkinson's, and because of the Parkinson's, he has anxiety, and so he's not able to sleep. I mean, this is the guy that, you know, you just put a stool, he sits down, he'll just fall asleep sitting on the stool. I mean, he'll sleep anywhere during the day. But there's something is attacking him. And I was talking to him and I said, look, I'm going to pray and ask God to allow you to sleep like a baby. When it's time to go to sleep at night, you will go to sleep and you will sleep sound asleep. Well, they went to the doctor, and the doctor ended up saying that he's got to take this and this. And then I'm glad my brother knows the Lord, but I don't know if he's really faithfully serving the Lord every day of his life. And so he's telling me all this medication. I'm like, whoa, don't give him that. He says, I'm not giving him that stuff. I'll give him some of this because he needs it for his diabetes, and let's just see if that helps him to fall asleep. And so I'm praying that I will hear a good report from my brother saying, man, Dad's sleeping like a baby all night long. He's not even getting up and then pacing, walking around, sitting in the living room because he can't go to sleep. But it says that the Lord will sustain us. How can he do that? Because he is God. When will he do that? When we cast our burdens and our cares to him. But in preparing for this message, I'm like, God, you're telling us that we can cast our cares and our burdens if we're heavy laden and cast them onto you. But God, what if I have a burden for people? What am I supposed to do with that? You see, a lot of times people have a burden for people and they just give it to God. Just a one-time thing. If you have a burden for somebody, it's not just a one-time thing. You got to keep praying. We find that there are four guys. Now, I'm saying they're his friends. But in Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 5, you'll find the same story. It doesn't say friends. But why do you think I call? Because I was like, well, Lord, doesn't say friends. I don't want to misquote you, God. That's the word. I can't say friends. But when I look at what they did, when I look at how they cared for this friend of theirs, a paralytic man, they went to take him to Jesus, to this special man who could heal. So whatever day it was, they took the time to carry him. And when they carried him, they found out the whole house was full. We can't get through the window, can't get through the front door, can't get through the back door. How are we going to take him in? Well, he's got to see Jesus. Well, we've been carrying him all this way. Jesus is inside. We're not going home. So they go up to the top. Can you go slide? I think it might be slide one. Oh, there you go. So that's primarily what the houses look like. And so Jesus is there. And this is, of course, animated, a picture. But it's these guys are on the roof. They break through. You see, when we have a burden for someone and we're praying for them, we got to break through. We got to break through whatever it is. Oh, well, I got something going on. Well, listen, if you really care about this person, that whatever they're going through, pray all the way. Pray through. It's not just a one-time thing. Jesus tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I'm thankful for that. He cares about me. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, he cares about me. And so he tells me, cast your care upon him, where he cares for you. How many people do you care for? Think about it. Now, it should come natural if it's family. Blood family, blood related. I mean, it just should come natural. It's your family. Brother, mother, sister. It should just come naturally. But how about the burden for those that you don't know? So what do we do when we have a burden for others? I think a lot of times we kind of just pass the buck to somebody else because we don't want to carry the burden. We don't want to have to carry the guy or carry the person and go, down the street, find out, well, can't get in. Well, we got to break through. We got to go to the roof. What? I'm scared of heights. No, we got to go to the roof. Got to drop him through. He had four great friends. And I come to this conclusion because they had a heavy burden for him. They were willing to carry him and they loved him. Well, how do you know that they loved him? Because they spent time taking him to this special man called Jesus of Nazareth, and they were going to heal him. It wasn't going to, the fact that the house was full was not going to allow them to keep them from taking their friend to see Jesus. You see, they had faith in this special man that Jesus could heal. I wonder how many of us, we lose that faith that Jesus could do certain things. We find out that a certain neighbor or a certain friend is sick or ill. And what would we do? I tell you what I've tried to commit to do is when I say, hey, I'm going to pray, I pray right then and there. I want to be a man of my word. Because how many of you are like, oh yeah, we'll pray. And then hours go by. And then someone says something and it reminds you. Thank God the person said about, a traffic accident. Oh yeah, Timmy, he got into, yeah, let's pray. But if it wasn't for that person to mention about Tim in a traffic accident, or, mention something about a traffic accident, you wouldn't have prayed. And so that's something that I've applied to my life, that when I hear someone is sick or someone needs prayer, I pray right then and there. I go to God on that situation. But then you know what? It's not enough if that's just the one time. Yeah. If I can get one teenager and two adults to come on up here, I got an example to just kind of share with you. Come on up. I don't care who it is, whoever it is. It's four sides, so I need four people. Come on. Four sides, just put down the sides, not the corner. I need one teenager. Come on. You come on up the next time. You have a seat right here. Have a seat right here. You guys can come up the next time. All right. Four sides. Have a seat right here. Have a seat. All right. Here we go. Carter, you can go right there. You can sit down right there with me. Yeah. Four sides. Pick a side. Pick a side and stand on a side. Side, not corner.
Oh.
All right. Retirement. This is a scary thing. Now, I've never had to retire from a job or anything, all right? My dad did, and, you know, I've known over the years a couple of people, some of you have retired, okay? This is a scary thing. What are you going to do? You know, at first, it seems like, oh, yeah, it's just going to be great. I'm just going to sit on the porch talking to Brother Mike and just sharing, you know, some of the things. You miss the schedule of life that you had if it was all scheduled. You miss that. So what do? So when someone you know is retiring, and you lift them up in prayer, so pick up a side and just hold on to that. And so when we pray for this person, and again, it's not just one time. We're not just praying for this one person, but one time, but we're carrying the burden. We're carrying them in prayer. And this is what it looks like. We're holding them up in prayer because of the fact that they're going to retire. Where are they going to move to? There's only so much that they'll give you for retirement unless you got really good, you know, pay. But, I mean, what do you do after that? All right, you can go ahead and sit down. Thank you. Now, let me get four other people. One, two, three, and a teenager. Jean, come over this side. All right, that's retirement. Sickness. What I'm trying to point out is that they're all different.
Yeah.
And when we look, they're all different people. But the fact that it shouldn't just be adults, children, family. When you guys get together, pray. Don't just pray for, you know, the good thing. Find some people. During family prayer, pray for people in the church. Pray for missionaries that we support. Pray for people in your neighborhood. And so when you find out someone's retired, but what about you find someone who's sick? Lately, how many of you, don't raise your hand because I'm not here to try to embarrass anyone, but how many of you thought about praying for them, but you didn't? Just be honest. You thought about praying for someone because you knew that someone was sick, but you didn't pray. Oh, it slipped my mind. Yeah, okay. Hey, you know what? That happened. Okay? It slips your mind. But when you find out, pray. Pray for their sickness. How about college? Josiah's going to college, and that's going to be, you know, a different time of our life. But, you know, praying for his college, the decision. So go ahead and carry up the sides. Grab the side. Matthew chapter 9. Mark 2, Luke 5, it doesn't say friends, but yet when we find out what these four guys did, they cared about the paralytic man. They cared about him, that they were willing to take him, break through someone's roof, and take him to Jesus. How much would you be willing to be praying and carrying someone's burden? Again, carrying our burdens, yes, we give it to Jesus, but what about it's a burden for someone that we know who is sick or going to college or retiring? What will we do? We need to carry them in prayer. Okay, you guys could put that down. What about people out there? Non-family members, neighbors, fellow citizens, lost people. Intercession must come out of us, especially those of us who want Jesus to be known and seen in us. Intercession's got to come. We got to learn what intercession is. If you are a Christian and you don't know what intercession is,
I mean, we've been talking about this the last few weeks. Begin to pray and ask God, God, I want to be a prayer warrior. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't see yourself as a prayer warrior, I encourage you to pray and to see yourself as one who prays for those who are in need. There are a lot of people. Now, when I think of intercession, I think of prayer, which is a conversation with God about others who need him. It's a conversation with God about people that I care about, and then people that I don't even know, but I care about. Listen, you don't need to be a pastor or an evangelist to care about people's salvation that you don't know. You don't need to. You just need to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and not be carried away with your own life, but really see there are thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people in Camden County that don't know Jesus. Let's go to slide 3. I think it's the outline of Camden County. Oh, I'll go back to that. This is Camden County, the outline. We got people in Waverly, Woodbine, Browntown, Kingsland, St. Mary's, Kings Bay, Harriet's Bluff. There are a lot of people in these towns that I don't know. I don't know the Johnsons who live in Harriet's Bluff. I don't know the Millers who live in Woodbine. But you know what? Because they don't know Jesus Christ, and these are the towns that are on our prayer list. If you don't know, that means you haven't been reading our prayer list in the last month or so. But these are the towns on our prayer list. And we are praying that we would be able to impact the lives of the people in those towns, that the people who are lost in those towns will come to know Jesus Christ. You don't need to be a pastor and evangelist to have that care.
That's right.
To lift people up in prayer. So when we pray for people who are lost in Kingsland, I want you to picture, hopefully this is a picture, that you are picking people up. Can I get 4 men to come on up here? We'll use a different one here, different blanket. 4 men, come on. Don't be scared. 4 men. All right. 4 men. 4 men. All right. Let's see if you guys do it. 4 sides, not corners. Sides. All right. You put it down really quick. I don't want to hurt you guys. Addictions. It's a brick. This is more heavy stuff. Okay. Addictions. This is difficult things. Cancer. Found out my sister has stage 3 breast cancer. So I'm praying the report of the Lord. And I believe in the report of the Lord. His report says she is healed. So this is the things that we have to. And I wanted to have the men go up, grab the sides and pick it up. Because I want to encourage you fathers. Be strong prayer warriors. It's not that you have to know all kinds of scriptures. Right here, you see that there are different men from different places, different backgrounds. Some of them know scripture. Some of them know a lot about what God has done in their sons' lives. And so there are different. And I'm wanting us to see that 4 people in this story cared about this paralytic man, and there needs to be 4 people or more, how long the blanket is, carrying people in prayer. Unity is not uniformity. If you see, they're not wearing the same clothes. Some's missing a little bit of hair, but you know, some have a lot of hair.
It's just wrong.
But listen. The important thing is that we are praying together. I came across that quote and I found out that Martin Luther King said this quote also. I'm not sure if he penned it or if he got it, but the fact that unity is not uniformity. Uniformity is where everyone is wearing the same thing, speaking the same thing, sounding kind of like when you go to Chick-fil-A. Everyone's wearing Chick-fil-A, uniform because they work there. And I love it when you go there. Their response is, "It's my pleasure." It's ingrained in them to say, "It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure." But all of these men that are right here holding on to someone's cancer, someone's addiction, and they're taking it to the Lord in prayer. All right, guys, thank you. You can put it down. Thank you so much. Sorry, Mike. Caring people through prayer. strong desire that they know Jesus.
Now, this is where I would like to have the title of my message is Unity in Prayer. I want to have everybody come on up and grab a piece or a side of this long tablecloth. Come on, everybody. We're all different races, different nationalities, different ages, different backgrounds. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is based on the X number of people who agree, in this case, who will agree and pray for the same goal. For the same goal. All right. For the same goal, the loss in Camden, the loss in Camden. Okay, you guys are holding it, right? I'm not gonna fall through. I'm not gonna throw it. I'm gonna explain this because this has a meaning. In the month of March, we're gonna apply this. I'm asking the church to apply that we're going to be carrying people in prayer. The lost in Camden, and all of us in unity, all of us together, praying and lifting the people in Kingsland, St. Mary's, Kings Bay, Woodbine, Browntown, Harry's Bluff, Waverly, that the people will come to know Jesus. We know Jesus. Why would we not care for people who don't know Jesus? We should. And so I encourage you. And if there is a shred of, well, I just don't care because I just don't know them, and I know some of them, and they just need to go to hell. Listen, ask God to forgive you because it is God's love that has been poured in our hearts that we ought to love and we ought to care. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, you guys can put it down.
All right, I'm not done. I'll be done in a couple minutes. Praying in unity. Praying together. We have a church prayer list. And I'm asking and encouraging that you make copies, that you take them home, take a snapshot of it, and it'll be on your phone. We ought to pray for the common goal that people would come to know Jesus. And, we mentioned about this banner up here. Part of me wants to take it down because it's been up there for a long time, but I feel like the Lord is saying, no, people need to understand, it needs to be ingrained in people that this is what Jesus started. We have to continue what Jesus started. We pray for the common goal, the same goal that people come to know Jesus. We ought to have the same burden. And this burden is for people to need to know Jesus, for people to find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We're not building Hidden Treasures kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3, he said, "They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down." Nehemiah is not in Jerusalem. Nehemiah is many miles away. And when he finds out that the walls of Jerusalem has been torn and the gates have been destroyed by fire, "When I heard this," verse 4, "I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to God of heaven." This is a man, he wasn't mourning just for a bunch of rubble and cement. The walls of Jerusalem meant something to him. The walls of Jerusalem meant God's home, God's house, God's city, God's something that was God, something that was treasured by God. And there are people that are out there that don't know Jesus, and God treasures them. He loves them. And so he mourned, he fasted, he prayed to the God of heaven. "Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven," Shannon touched on this last week, that as we intercede, the focus is not just on a bunch of people that don't know God and all jacked up and messed up, but the focus is on all of them and me too, all of us.
And so he goes on, he continues, says, "Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations." And he continues just in this prayer of God, to God, of repentance. He didn't do nothing wrong. But he felt that he, because of what was going on in Jerusalem, he needed to repent, and he was mourning and he was hurting. So he fasted and prayed. Intercessory prayer must bring us to humility, repentance, desire, and commitment to see God's will done. Father, I pray that you, Lord, would forgive us in any instance or areas of our life, God, where we would rather do what we want to do instead of proclaiming Jesus. Instead of making Jesus known, instead of trying to find someone in one of these towns and one of these places that don't know you, that, Lord, just to make ourselves available, how can they come to know you through me, Lord? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do, God? God, forgive us. I pray, Father, that our hearts would break for what breaks yours. What breaks your heart, God, is that there are lost people in Camden County that don't know Jesus, and that there are people who consider themselves believers that don't see the dire need to compel or to share Christ with those who don't know. Father, I pray, let our hearts burn and let our hearts break for what breaks yours. Father, I pray that we would, Lord, be driven to prayer, intercessory prayer, unity prayer. Lord, that we pray in unity, God, for the common goal that those who are lost would come to know Christ. Yes, those who are battling cancer, those who are going to retire. Lord, those who are in sickness. Lord, those that are going through difficult times. God, that we will lift them up in prayer also. But Lord, that people that don't know Jesus would come to know Jesus. Lord, I pray, help us, Father. Amen. You know, every Tuesday we pray. If you can't make it on Tuesday, then you know what? Pray during the week. Tuesday's not some holy day that you can only pray on Tuesday. Make the time to pray and pray with us. You can't do it at 6:30, then do it at 6. You can't do it at 6:30 p.m., then do it at 6:30 a.m. Make the time to pray on that day. I shouldn't have said that because I'm not up at sometimes at 6:30 a.m. But anyway, make the time to pray on that day, some other day during the week. Every Wednesday, teachers, listen up. Every Wednesday, we fast and pray. If you are a teacher, we ask you to fast and pray with us. We pray for the teachers in their classes that God would anoint you, that God would anoint the class. And so teachers, know that there are other teachers who are fasting and praying for you. So reciprocate the love. Reciprocate the love. Fast and pray on Wednesdays. You know, we all have busy schedules and lives, yet there's still people who are lost in this county. So it doesn't matter if our lives are busy, does it? Doesn't matter if, you know, things are going haywire at our homes. People are still lost and they need to know Jesus. So as I mentioned earlier, in the month of March, we are asking all of Hidden Treasures to commit to go on prayer walks. This is something that I'll share next week, because how this all happened was just a God timing, God moment, that we are going to have prayer walks that you can arrange yourselves with other people, prayer drives, just driving through Browntown, driving through Waverly, driving, just take a drive for 5 minutes and go drive around in that area and begin to pray. Why do that? Why waste my gas? Why waste my time? Why waste my afternoon of walking around my neighborhood? Because there are people there that don't know Jesus. And if you have to ask why, then let me encourage you to spend some time in prayer and say, God, break my heart. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told of I think it's if I don't get it right, this poor man and this publican. And the publican was praying out loud, "Thank God that I'm not like this guy." And I pray that none of us would get that way.
We would become so prideful that we would not see the person who was lost. And that person, that poor man couldn't even lift up his head. He just beat at his chest because he knew the sin in his life. He knew that he needed to repent. He knew that he needed to go to God in repentance. Father, I pray that we would see ourselves like that every day, that we would see, God, that we have been, Lord, blessed, Lord, to have that day that we came to know you as Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, there are so many people that have yet to experience that. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would lead us as we go out on prayer walks, as we go out on prayer drives through these towns, Lord. Lord, that we would prepare ourselves, Lord, for what you have in store for us. Lord, there are people who are lost. I thought about the Ozias family. If you don't know who the Ozias family is, go in the hallway and look at all the missionaries. These are the missionaries that are in Asia. Why would I pray for Ozias in Asia and not pray for people in Browntown? Why would I pray for Jim and Heidi Ozias to minister the gospel? Father, forgive us for taking the gospel for granted. It's such good news, yet many times we'd rather keep it to ourselves than making sure all can hear. That's the theme this month, that all can hear. That all can hear what? That Jesus saves. So I close with just this. Go ahead and play that video.